First thought over here like this: there's a Chiddush HaRim in the parsha. The pasuk talks about Noach being a tzaddik, and it defines him b'dor Esav. So Rashi brings from Chazal that Yesh Tarshan Asad Shvach, Yesh Tarshan Asad Gunai. Some see that compared to the generation he was in, the generation was pulling him down. And had he been in a generation which was of greater people, he would be soar even higher. Some say the opposite, that compared to the generation he was in, he was somebody of significance. Had he been in the generation of Abraham, we would not have had the same respect for Noach. He wouldn't have been the same. So what's motivating Chazal, that opinion, to look at it in a negative way? Let me explain that a little bit. But Chiddush HaRim says that if you wanted to touch up in a very short phrase, there was between Noach and Abraham. Noach was a tzaddik, and Abraham was a chassid. Okay, that's what Chiddush HaRim says. So what's the difference between a tzaddik and a chassid? So Mesil Shosharim like this. Mesil Shosharim very clearly writes that his sefer is a sefer of a sulam of an aliyah. It's a ladder, level to level. So the first three levels are Zahiris, Zrizis, and Nikias. That takes you through Perek Yudbeis. Perek Yudgimel is the meat of Precious. So he says, Precious hitchilas hachasidus. V'sira shekol ma'a shebi'arnu ad ato hu ma'a shemitztar chelodim li'yet tzadik. Mekan v'holo hu shi'yet chosid. Okay. Now he doesn't explain the difference between what a tzaddik and a chassid is over here. He talked about it a little bit earlier. But what there is in a tzaddik and a chassid? So the word tzaddik simply just means the person does the right thing. The word tzaddik is somebody who's righteous. A righteous person does the right thing. He's not calling upon himself to go above and beyond. He's just getting it right. Now, getting it right in the Torah is quite an accomplishment. The Rishiva used to say to us that Moshe Seder is Mesil Seshor. That was the Rishi would push very strong that during Moshe Seder you learn Mesil Seshor. You should learn all this Torah also, because they give you, they expand your horizons, they give you Hajarach, etc. During Moshe Seder you should learn Mesil Seshor. The Shiva said that multiple times. Now, the Shiva himself did not learn Mesil Seshor during Moshe Seder. He used to learn the Geras Ramban, I told you, and the Geras Kibager. He used to switch off one day the other. Right? So, and he had his Nigan. So let me go back a step and explain what Moshe Seder is supposed to be, which some people have never seen a Moshe Seder in their life, a real one. I remember the first time I came, somebody asked if they would learn, if I would learn the Mechirusa during Moshe Seder. We used to have Moshe Seder here in Yeshiva. We don't have it anymore either. The Velt says that Moshe Seder really is a moment of silence in memory of Yisrael Salanter. That was one joke about it. Mr. Seder, another joke about Mr. Seder was, Mr. Seder was, Mashkiach Nar Sissil said that the Velt says, Mr. Seder, Allah Vasholem. And I say, Mr. Seder, Hashem Yom Kum Domai. So, Yisrael Salanter's idea of the Mr. Seder was that he was talking about the subconscious. That these ideas which need to seep in the subconscious of the person, because a lot of what we do is based on what our rutzen is, and a rutzen is really rooted in the subconscious. So, without studying the studies, you know, based on Chazal, he said that if a person takes a thought and he clearly understands it, he first makes sure he understands it, and it speaks to him by repeating it multiple times with the song, it's seeping into the subconscious. And it says you can sit days on that same thought. And that's the purpose of what Seder was, to take that thought and repeat it again with a niggun multiple times, so it starts seeping into your consciousness. And over a period of months, these things will start becoming part of who you really are. So the idea that you should learn with Harusa is ridiculous. By definition, that's impossible. Right? There's other things you need to learn to understand what it is. You need to get a picture. So Rishiva told us that Mesil Shorim is the safer for Moshe Seder. So I'm like, you know, that's like three mistake of Talmud. So I learned Mesil Shorim during Moshe Seder for a lot of years. It took me about somewhere in the area of about 8 to 10 years to get a flavor of Mesil Shorim.
Not question, that long, am I?
What?
Not that long.
8 years to get
a flavor.
It's a safer,
right?
It's not such a long safer. No, but you learn it again and again, right? So first I learned the whole Sefer, I don't know, X amount of times, all the way through Chassid. So then I said, you know what? I'm not working on becoming a Chassid. Let's work on becoming a Tzaddik. Like, right? The first part is let's get this. So I would learn till you bays, and I would start over again. I wouldn't learn past you bays because that's not relevant for me. My goal right now is just to get the. So a tzaddik is the one who gets it right. So here is like he explains is the person is careful in the lois asays. Jesus is he's careful in the mitzvahs asay, and the key is he really weeds out all of the little details which he's been missing. So what's left? Like you know, great. I mean, like what do you do more? So in the parakim which he calls chassidus, there's actually a section called chassidus. There's precious, and then there's tahara, and then there's chassidus. So on the next page, you notice that there's a little bit of a skip from Kufi and Aleph to Reshiyot. So this is already the parak which starts chassidus. Okay, so chassidus is based on the following phrase of a chazal. Asher misham ala b'torah, oysa nachas ruch liyotzer. Right, so the first three, four words were on the previous page. I wasn't going to copy a whole page for four words. I can tell it to you myself. Asher isham ala b'torah, right? So Asher isham ala b'torah, oysa nachas ruch liyotzer. So those three words on the previous page. Okay. So what does oysa nachas ruch liyotzer mean? The mitzvahs are mitzvahs. So that's it. You got to do what you got to do. On the Misha, Oyev is a Bere, is Baruch Shemoy. Ava Amitis, you really love him. It's not you're going to fulfill the responsibilities which are known. Asher, I'll call Yisrael the cloud. Al Yikra, like Kamosh Yikra, El Ben Oyev Aviv, a child who loves his father. I'm going to do it the best
way I can. I'm not going to do it to fulfill my obligation. If I get a hint from my father that he wants something, I'm going to give it to him in the best way possible. Let's say I would have no limitations of time or money, right? Right? And I really love my father. My father says, I like wine. So I can go to the store and I can buy him the $5 bottle of wine. I can buy the $50 wine. I can buy the $40 bottle of wine. I'm not going to buy the $5 bottle of wine. Right? Because I love him. I want to give him the best. And there's no limitation of time and money. I would do that, right? Right? So the chassidus is the one who wants to go. His desire is to really, really fulfill. To do it in the best way possible. And Kleisel, in some ways, this is the Musik of Heder Mitzvah. I had this emotion. This goes back. I was a bacher. This goes back a long time ago. I think it was like 1981, 1982. So I was in Chicago. So I went to Chicago to recuperate for like 2 weeks. So I wasn't staying in the yeshiva there because I couldn't keep full storm. But I was staying in the prison neighborhood. I had a basement apartment. I was staying there and I was spending part of the day in yeshiva. And then part of the day I was just like sort of relaxing. So I went downtown. So downtown, there's a place called Spurtus Institute of Judaica or Judaism, something like that, whatever it's called. It's a secular, some from people there. I don't know the whole thing. I didn't understand the whole thing. They have classes, etc. They also have a museum of Judaica. And they have, the beautiful Esther boxes from, 500 years ago. This intricately carved, extraordinary, beautiful silver Esther box. And they have these type of things over there. And I was just looking at Kleisel's love for a mitzvah. It's not enough we do a mitzvah. But you can see that their love. They wanted to do it in the best way possible. They wanted to show how valuable it is to them, how beautiful it is to them. So that's in that's in the externals. So obviously in the trappings. So the action itself, so much more so. So I'm not gonna. The chassid is the one who goes above and beyond. That's the chesed. The tzaddik does what's right. The chassid does chesed means it's above and beyond what's right. So when you talk about chassidus, visiting a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're going above and beyond. So Noach was an ish tzaddik. Noach got everything right. Now that's an accomplishment, which is a lifetime of an accomplishment to get everything right. You learn the Selshurim, the parak of Nikias, and you say like, what's left after that? Right? It's almost mind-boggling. And then you say, okay, let's start the real stuff. But that's his point. He said it one time, like a half a sentence. I'll pick up what's hidden there, what's the real message. That's what I want to accomplish. So he can figure that out. I don't need a request. I know that it's going to make him feel good. So that's how he's an achaz liyatzer. Okay. So you see that, you see the husband to a wife, a parent to a child, right? A child to a parent, two extremely good friends. I don't wait. I know what you like. I know what makes you happy, and I want to do it for you because I want to do it. I don't need a command for that. So that's the world of Chassidus, which he then talks about. Chassidus expressed in the Midah of Ava, the Midah of Simcha. Right? When I do a mitzvah, the Simcha. That's a indicator of a fact of that I'm doing it because I really want to be here. If I do it as a tzaddik, you know, it's the right thing to do, and I do it, etc. But it's not going to generate this emotion of excitement necessarily. If I'm doing it b'simcha, that's indicative of a whole new relationship, etc. So that's the Mishalim he talked about. So the Chusha Rim sees what Chazal, that when Chazal are contrasting Avraham to Noach, what's really contrasting is the tzaddik versus the chassid. Now, the classic definition of a chassid, of Chazal's use of the word chassid, and the Rishonim use of the word chassid, is not necessarily what the chassidim. But the reason why the chassidim got the title chassidim, because I mean, first of all, the Mesnadim did not give them that title.
They didn't give themselves their own title either, probably.
But one element of what they were trying to do was trying to bring simcha into doing the mitzvahs. They were trying to bring this idea of creating an attitude of excitement about a mitzvah, doing it in the best way possible. You know, Stam has what to rely on, but let's do Cholav Yisrael. Let's do Makban or Cholav Yisrael, right? Payas, like this is a good, let's do Payas like this. Like, don't just do the basic requirement. Let's do it better. Davening is nice, but let's make it, you know, we're gonna add an extra garment, we're going to add a gartel. Like, there was always that going, that was the message, and to do it with a simple. So that allowed them to be labeled with the title Chassid. That's where that comes from. Okay. The next place I'm not really going to touch on. Fine. Now, one point. Different point totally is this piece. This is a piece of Progressive Yozel and the Drakos of the. Where he touches on directly this whole statement of the Chazal that he was like the Ganai. I mean, like, what are we doing over here? Like, do we have to really look at, you know, Noach the Ganai? Like, what's motivating us? You find this interesting din that you can, that in the Loch of Dan Lechavstus, it doesn't apply to Rosha. By Rosha, you actually assume the Ganai. You assume negative. But why Noach was a tzaddik? Well, why are we assuming negative about him? That had he been a Dersh Lavrom, he would have been nothing. Like, really? Uh-huh. So Rishi also says a very nice taich, which I'm not going to. It's not where I want to go really, with the 100%. But I want to at least tell you what he says. I think it's probably out of all the pshatim, it's the pashup pshat. It's not the greatest musar shmuz, but it's the pashup pshat. So beirin shal devarim kachu. This pays on the drakos adam. So it's the second paragraph. Everybody agrees that Noach had hit level X. Well, let's say for argument's sake, between 1 and 100, Noach hit a 75. Let's call that, you know, let's say for the throw out a number, for example. And Mahoyi sub Erech Latikos Avram. So, and Avram was 100. So there's no argument about that. Right? That Avram was greater, Noach was less. And the numbers, everybody's arguing about the numbers. So what's the argument? Okay. What was the motivation which is pushing Noach? He was seeking something. Noach was a seeker. What allowed him to rise above the generation was he was seeking emes. He was seeking something greater than what the generation was offering. And he shall the Toba Bayama Taibas Kamois. If he didn't want to fall into the world of Taibas like them. Now, if that's what's pushing him, so there's no shaila if he'd be in the generation of Avram, where more, even more emes was available. Avram was teaching emes. Noach would be much greater. Because if that's the motivation, if there had been more available, he would take it all in. Therefore, he had no, over there, there was much less which would act as an impediment. The search for emes of Noach wasn't strong enough to allow Noach to overcome the morass of his society. How do you pronounce it?
Morass.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Ki ilum machmezer levad lohoyel kolkat tzadik lohyinisher elabenani. That would have pushed him to be that he wasn't the Rasha. He was a Benani. So what was pushing Noach? She Noach Rasha shebedor kezeh. Everybody is so lowly. I mean, the same kolkach magunas, they're horrible. You can't take lukewarm. It's not enough to be, you know, I'm not bad, I'm not good, I'm in the middle. Unless he pushes himself to reach the highest possible, then I have a lomi bechrech yishmecheu matamata. He knows that he's going to be pulled down. Unless he reaches for the stars, he's going to end up in the mud. That's Noach understood. So the search for emes alone, he was pretty happy with being in the middle. Right? But he understood that, oh, here there's no middle. In this generation, there's no middle. Either you reach for the stars, or you end up in the mud. Was Gama Pershim, well, Yeshua Etzli. Rekim and Shekhen, you taught. Now, if that's what's motivating him, you talk about Shiloh Hoyyah Bershal Avraham, Shoz Hoyyah Ador Yerset Sadik, was a Kanal Rukunias Yersekatana, was like Hoyyah Bercher, Andrek Yersekatana. He didn't have that push that he needed to reach to the highest level, because over there, the medium was not bad. The medium was pretty good. So he would have stayed in the medium. That's how he wants to understand the machlokes. That we're not saying that what he was doing was, it was like, it was very significant what he did. And it wasn't Davar Avraham. The question was, what is the motivation which is pushing him? Okay. And then the Sefer then continues, which, you know, this idea of the motivations, you know, we have to really, sometimes you harness the negative is what pushes you. Sometimes what pushes you is the positive. And sometimes, and every person really, you know, we have different kufas. So, you know, we need multiple things in our repertoire to pull out of your quiver for you want to shoot the arrow. You have arrows, you know. There's different arrows there. Right? There's short distance and there's long distance. Right? What's going to keep the negative motivation, you know, is I just don't want to end up there. That I see where a person could end up, and that's not what I just can't live with that. I can't accept that. Good. That's going to push you a certain amount. The search for emes will take you even higher, but sometimes the search for emes you can get waylaid by many other things. So that's the point where he goes. Okay, so if you look at the next page from Rav Volba on the Rav Volba Shir HaChumash, so he basically says on page Mem Vav, he basically says the same idea. Yesh kanin yonamuk ma mevi adam l'aliyah. What pushes a person to grow? He's just repulsed by what he sees around him. I need to be different. That's what's driving him. You look like that nice Hebrew word over there, yeah. He wouldn't have that motivation, that push. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Okay? Um, Okay, now in the next piece, he says a fascinating thing. It says, HaMashkiach Zal Hisbir. So this is Revolbal quoting the Mashkiach, means he's quoting Rabbi Yerucham. So Rabbi Yerucham explains, Shalafish Te Hadeyos, Nirash of Hashemai, Murdin Mesa'odim, B'knei Mida Hagadol B'yosim. We don't, the Russia doesn't measure us in small ways. Russia measures us against the standard. Right? Each person is measured against his standard, but the standard is what could have been. Okay, what's that? Well, Avraham is the standard. Avraham is a person who was Avraham Ivri. He was able to, on his own, against the whole world, find the truth and become Avraham. Like, there's nobody who ever reached that. That's the highest, that's the gold standard. Or that's the platinum standard, whatever. So, Ketz al Yenira, B'dar Shal Avraham Avinu. So, Adam lo yochel yistapik b'mashu oisa b'yachas l'dar l'sibas. You can't say, well, you know, compared to my neighbors, I'm doing okay. That's not an option. El tzarek shafil b'dar Shal Avraham Avinu, yin ekshal l'tzadik. We need to understand that the power that we have, the potential which we have, is way beyond just being compared to the person around us. And this is a real problem. Rabbi Tauber, Rizal Tauber, has a very nice book called Choose Life. And the Sefer has two parts to it. The first half is about how a fellow's involved with this non-Jewish girlfriend. And she's trying to understand, you know, why they, you know, and the young man is starting to get into Yiddishkeit, why Yiddishkeit doesn't allow her. Eventually, she is so overwhelmed by the Yiddishkeit, she becomes a Gyaris. Okay, they get married, fine. They meet him again years later, and they're bemoaning the fact that the spark is missing, the spark is gone. When a person first becomes a Baal Tshuva, a person becomes a Ger, like, you know, they're on fire, they want to grow, they want to develop, etc. You know, at some point it peters out. So, so he addresses that point. But what happened? What happened is the Baal Tshuva, the Ger, sees a certain level of way people live. It says, I'm nowhere near that. I gotta push myself. I gotta get there. Once you get there, what's motivating you? You know, I go to davening three times a day. I daven pretty nicely. You know, sometimes like my mind wanders, but everybody else is the same way as me. Like, you know, I'm not so bad, right? But deep down, we all know that that's not how you're supposed to measure yourself. You know, so There's a saying there's a saying in Yiddish. It says, "Tzoras rabim is chatzin nechama." Everybody has a problem. You know, says it's not so bad. The other saying is, "Tzoras rabim is nechama shaitim." Like, what does it help me that you have the same problem? Like, you know, like, so now what? So you know. So I got to deal with my issue. The fact that you also have issues, so I feel bad for you. What to do with me? Right? You know. So we get stuck in the Surah Mechatzin Nechom. You know what? Everybody has davening. Everybody has problems with davening. So okay. So now what? Therefore what? So Chabad Chaim uses the mashal. He says, so you know, you come into the town, and this fellow he's a roife, and the people in the town are like not well, and this fellow, he has a limited amount of medicine. So some people are pushing forward, and one guy's not pushing. He says, why aren't you pushing? He says, listen, you know, listen. The reality is, not everybody's going to get the medicine. A lot of people end up, you know, really being sick. Just like, so I don't need to do with everybody else, and I'll stay sick. You know, because a lot of people are sick also, so it's not so bad to be sick. Like, you know, you're saying those words, it's ridiculous. Right? So, but that's what happens. We measure ourselves against a generation. So Rabbi Yerucham is saying that, like, where does that come from? You know, if we're not Shammai measuring like that, we shouldn't measure ourselves like that. But that's what we do, you know. And you know now nobody says it's easy. You know, the Rambam says, you know, we're mushra from the people around us, and you know, reality is we will deviate in general from the society around us a 10% deviation, 15% deviation, not more. You know, if I really want to, if I decide that I really want to really be medactic in davening, and I'm going to look question, really give myself hours for davening, and look at you, which nobody does that, how long am I going to keep that up? Right? You know what? There's a little bit of a slower minion, I'll go there. Maybe I'll be a little bit longer than that minion, or maybe I'll be a little more focused, etc. I mentioned to you once, I think, that that there was a Yid in Muncie. I have no idea whether he's still alive or not. He was known in Muncie as Ramot Ratzadik. That was his name. I haven't heard what his last name was, but he's known. He was a Vishnu Chassid. What? No. It was a Vishnu Chassid. And his davening was out of this world. His shach was. Now he was a Chassid. You know, they were into, like, they would repeat things, etc. They wouldn't let him daven the Vishnu Chassid matters, because he was so intense in his davening, especially he scared everybody else. So he used to daven a little shtiebel called Berditcha. There's a Berditcha shtiebel. And I used to go for Yomtiv to the family who lived across the street. So I would go there for like Mar Matzah Shabbos, we would daven a Berditcha. So when he would say Shema, Shema! Shema! And he would jump up and down, he would stomp, he would scream. When he said Echad, you heard him falling into the Kibshon Eish. Sometimes you heard him going into the fire. You heard him falling into the fire. Okay, I mean, it was mind-boggling to hear him. And he would stomp, and he would jump, and he would scream. Amara by him was like Masi Shabbos. Amara was like an hour plus. But you know, most people are not going to do that. Like, there's a reason why he got a title of Ramur Chatzadik. If everybody's doing that, he doesn't have a tzadik. You know, that's average. You know, the reason why he got the title, he's not average. Like everybody else in the sheep are like, you know, that's him. He does his strange thing, and we do our thing. You know, like, you know, right? We're not doing that. Now, what is that supposed to look like? I don't know. Maybe he's right. You know, maybe our davening is not exactly the way it should be. You know, I'm saying that gently. right. So we need to measure ourselves against ourselves, against, you know, like why are we accepting for ourselves mediocrity? I saw myself as, you know, in my own life. I'm about Shuva, so I came to Tulsa Shiva, which, you know, I mean, I still can't wrap my head around this story. You know, the Rebbe sort of brought me, you know, who I had no idea what I was getting setting myself up for. I almost had no idea what I was setting myself up for when I said I want to go to yeshiva. Like, what did I know at yeshiva? I was Shabbos for 4 weeks. I learned 3 Vlada Gemara. I got my hair cut a week before the yeshiva. Right? And I said, I want to stay in yeshiva. The Rebbe said, great, I'm getting you to the yeshiva. The yeshiva gifter said no. Because, like, well, I mean, that's ridiculous. I finished learning Alba 8 months prior. Like, you know, I just started learning Gemara. I came to camp to get a special Rebbe for me. We went through that Gemara together in 4 weeks, which was awesome. Right? And I loved it. You know, it was very good. It was fascinating. It was interesting. It was geschmack. People were nice. You know, it was a totally different world. I'm doing this thing. And no idea what I was getting myself into. Like, you know, all of a sudden, I'm supposed to be functioning a full day of learning in yeshiva, keeping up to the pace. In those days, we learned in the Mechina, the average, there was about 50 blot for a Seder in the Mechina. That was the pace. Right? So, and that was with each week, 2 days were designated to Chazor. So it means there was, I think, out of the 52 weeks of the year, there was seven, there was like, there was 4 weeks off in the summer, 4 weeks off. There was 11 weeks off. So you had 41 weeks. In those 41 weeks, each man, there was 2 weeks designated to Chazorah. So that's 1 week by Elul and 2 weeks in the middle of winter, and then the end of winter and summer. So that's 7 weeks off. So you had 34 weeks a year. You were doing 4 days a week, 50 blad a year. And we had first Seder. We had, already the first year I went there, there was first Seder. You had prepared a Gemara on your own. Like, what? You know, how? Like, you know, but I was motivated. Because, like, you know, listen, everybody wants to have good, you know, feel positive about themselves. And I came from my position in public school, I wasn't considered the bottom of the class. Let's put it like that, you know. Right? And I didn't want to be the bottom of the class over here either. So I pushed myself. Well, you know, after X amount of years, I caught up. It wasn't the same. It wasn't the same motivation. So what motivation? You like learning, you know. Liking learning takes you so far. Unless you get the guy who's really, really, you know, really plugs in, that's a different ballgame. But till he plugs in, liking learning, you know. So, you know, you're schmoozing during Zeder. When you're motivated to catch up, you're not schmoozing during Zeder. I don't have time because I'm motivated to catch up. But once you caught up, like, what's going to push you beyond? Okay. Fine. I want to piece. There's a piece of Siva Shalom I want to look at. I just end just one point. I look backwards, and I still. My father-in-law one time described to me, like, you know, when he was in the South Pacific during the war. See, he was a radio operator for a landing craft. You know, they'd go up onto the beach, you know, and let the soldiers onto the island.
Your father-in-law went?
My father-in-law was a radio operator for a landing craft.
Oh, really?
So, you know, so you're out of open. You're out in the open seas, and it's, you know, nothing to do. So they would let down the ramp, and they would use it as a diving board, and they would go swimming. Mm-hmm. You know, you're swimming in South Pacific, you know, it's like 3 miles deep, you know, like Mariana Trench is 7 miles deep, you know, like, you know. So if you didn't swim well, we weren't pulling you off the bottom of the pool. Like, you know, but it's like throwing them, it's like in the deep end, like, you know, times in ad infinitum, you know. I was like throwing, that's what it was me going to Tel Shiva. Like, it was like basically like, you know, it's not throwing you to the deep end, it's like throwing you to the Mariana Trenches or something, you know. Okay, I had to look back and like, what was she thinking? Okay. So the Siva Shalom El Tel's Noach, he says Rashi brings Chazal. So Yeshua, now Bakusha Yudua the Mashal Lidra Shal Noach Isadik Lishvach. Why should Darshan look at night? Rabbi Yosef writes, "Hermi Idal Noach Shahayat Sadik Tamim." So Tana Tamim means he was a perfect Sadik, which means Sadik B'Tachlis Hashlemus. So what do you mean? How can you Darshan look at night? He was a perfect Sadik. What's more than a perfect Sadik? Okay. So that's the question. So the answer is, you know, that Be'etzem Enyin Tzorich La'Avin the Shem Ma'ah Hosiva Torah Kedosha B'Klal is Hadgasha Shel B'Dor Yisov. It says Sadim Ha'Yah B'Dor Yisov, and then the Rosh Hashanah says to him again later on, Kerskol Reis Yitzhak L'Fanai B'Dor Hazeh. Whether it's the Shvach or the Gunai, why is that important? Or it's the Chara. If the goal here is to tell me over that Noach was saved from the Mabul, what's added to the story by the fact that Noach is Bedar Hazeh? L'shvach or L'ganah? Like, what's irrelevant? Okay. So, Yesh Tabar in the next paragraph. We have two approaches to Avodah Hashem, or two approaches, two foundations, Avodah Hashem or Yiras Hashem. It says, Baralakim Rashis, Bez Rashis, there's two Rashis. Then a Bez you said is Abba Yir, there's two foundations to avoid. Fine, okay. So, Kinisa Akdamas are Kaddish, but Kuda Kadmoa, Da Yiras Hashem, Kuda Tinyana, Da Abba Hashem. The first mitzvah is, the first command is Yira, the second one is Av. So, why? Many ways is given primacy. So, Av is greater than Yira. So, why is it? Siyesh lefar shaderech Moshe lebinyan ba'ayis kodol shereish is called tzarech lives a yisoid bar. You have to make a good foundation, and then afterwards you build a beautiful house on top of it. Al derech zeh b'avodah zeh adam shbe adam yesh kerech hara. Kiyetzalev adam is ramin urav. What's going to allow you to overcome the Yetzahara is you have to work on removing the ra. So that's Sumer Ra. Sumer Ra is built on the union of Yiru. Then you can get to the Madrig of Avas Hashem, the Mekas Hashem, which is, that's the purpose. So nobody can tell you the foundation is the purpose. But nobody can tell you the foundation is not what you have to work on first. So that's Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem. Okay. Next paragraph. So in the generations of the Rashis is the foundational sefer.
Rashi at the beginning of Bereshit says that really we should have started with Chodesh Elohim. So the Maral and Gray explains that what there was, the word Torah means Harah, means directives. So that's mitzvahs. So the mitzvahs start from a Chodesh Elohim. So why are we studying over here? What's this all about? So Rashi says that to get across the message that the Baruch Hu created the world and he has the right to give it to whoever he wants. So that at first glance doesn't answer the question. Okay, so I understand Bereshis Aleph, I understand Shmos Yud Beis. There's a little bit in between. Like there's 50 Prokem in Bereshis, and there's the first 11 Prokem in Shmos. What about that? Right? That leaves you with, like, you know, the math leaves you with 60 Prokem you need to explain still, right? You understand the first one, right? And then you know the 49 you don't understand. 49 plus 11 is 60, higher math, right? You have 60 Prokem we need to explain still. Like, what is it about? So the answer is that we're laying the foundation. It's not the foundation of the world was the version who created the world. The foundation of the world is all of these steps what the world went through. The history of the world is part of the foundation of the world as well. In a person's life, he's defined by his experiences, and then he is right now, he has to take those experiences and live properly. Right? The world is also defined by its experiences, and you have to live properly. So what are the experiences? So, just like in Avodas Hashem, we say what you need to do is absorb a foundation of Yiras Hashem and then build Avodas Hashem on top of it. That's the world also. So, Tavkim Yiradaras Hashem, if they are Olamatikun, before we're going to actually really fix the world, we got to get into place. So, Avram was, that was the Tikun. So, the first step before that was Yiras Hashem. Rachacha Shanidli Yisoyed Bori Shal Yiras Hashem, Yokal Hoyal Haskal, Ibonis. So Avram was called Avram Oyevi. Avram was the chosid. Avram was the one above and beyond. Avram was expressing the human being's love for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Noach is the story of the Mabel, the Einish of Adam, the Einish of Cain, the Einish of the Dora Shal Einish, the Einish of Dora Mabel, the Einish of Dora Flogah, are all about that this world is not for free. You can't do whatever you want. There are unshim. That's going to put an element of yira, of respect to your responsibilities, respect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, all from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yira to unish. We got to get that in place. So tach darash shal yot noyach darash shakad mal elam atikon ha yira Hashem. Now, Noach's role in that generation was, therefore, he filled the role in that generation perfectly. He was a tzaddik tamim for that generation. Because that generation's avoider was Yira. They were supposed to have learned, like Rashi says, they were supposed to have learned from what happened to Darenish. And they didn't. Right? He was a person in a world where the world was going crazy. He controlled himself. He held on to himself. He did the right thing under tremendous pressure. Right? He stood there by his teva every single day. People walked by and said, Noach the Meshugana. And he did it. Because that's what you got to do. You know, and the hope was that he would inspire somebody, the generation to understand that, you know, there's a master over the world and you can't get away whatever you want. And therefore it says, he reached the perfect perfection, but he means of his generation. Okay, that's why he talks about the Lashon is Elohim. As Elohim is Eloch Noach, it's Lashon of Elohim. Now, he's Eloch Noach. What does that mean? He lived Shvi Hashem Nek Yisomit. Kloshon Ramah in Israel, the Ramah says, the first Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. That's what it means. Noach walked with Elohim. Every step that he took, the Baruch Hu was there, present with him.
So then he wants to say that his oisfer was that the l'shvach l'ganai is okay, but now we're going to move you to a generation where the avodah zarah, which is a higher madrega. So what would happen then? If you would still stay with Yira, you haven't really tapped into what this generation has to offer. Or would you be able to switch and join the higher madrega? So that's what he understands over here.
It sounds like if he did Ava, he wouldn't have accomplished his thing.
Correct.
He's like, the Yira was the right thing for him. The Ava actually would have been negative at his generation.
Correct.
Which is interesting. I guess that's the Shvach side of it then.
So translating this into our reality, right? So theoretically, chinuch. Let's talk about chinuch. So Revolba has this beautiful saber of Zriya Binyan b'chinuch. There are two parts to chinuch. There's a part of chinuch which is called Binyan. You develop rules, responsibilities. Right, you create a mezgeris. You're building, putting bricks, and then there's the organic growth, which you put an idea there. Understand that that's something which has to develop and come out in the right time, etc. The vast majority of binyan is in the world of yira. Yira's responsibilities. I'm not enjoying it. I'm not letting you develop a flavor in it. It's like, this is what we do. Why? Because I can explain why, etc. But the point is, we're creating a framework. That's the foundations of Yira in a person's life. There are expectations of you. This is what you got to do. Whether you like it or not, we'll find a way to make it. We'll maybe motivate you, etc. But the bottom line is, you got to do what you got to do. When you've established that well, so then you start saying, these things are going to start to grow on you. You're going to start to get a flavor in them. You're going to start to get a connection to them. I can't expect my 10-year-old to have a geshmak and daven. But I need to teach him to get a daven. Right? But I'm going to give him little ideas, little things which will seep into his consciousness, that when he's 20, it starts flourishing, it starts flowering, it starts developing. But if I try and push that at him when he's 10, like he has no, just daven because you enjoy it. Well, he doesn't enjoy it. Right, so now what's supposed to happen? He's not going to daven. You haven't given him the yira. You haven't given him the foundation. The Stiper says that the danger of our generation is that they did not give enough. They're not giving enough yira. Huh. Our generation is a generation of Ava. The Russian loves you. You're so wonderful. You're so sweet. You're so great. The mussig of their expectations or responsibilities, we're not comfortable saying that, because that's like the whole society is about microaggressions you need to feel good. So if the professor says something that makes you feel not good, so you bashmutz him on your Facebook page, and you go to the dean about it, and and then you. Why? Because he said we expect more from you. So now what? I feel attacked. But there's a saying that the outer society is a mirror of what's going on in the Torah world. If we'd be perfect, we'd be better. They wouldn't be looking like that either. We have to be honest that we're and the parents are scared to create that framework, that foundation, or you get the opposite, that they push too much because they say, you got to do it. We want to make sure our kids come out perfect. So the solution is push everything on top of them. They're not ready yet. Fascinating Mishnah. Ben Chomesh Mikra, Ben Esel Mishnah, Ben Chomesh Esrei the Gemara, the Talmud. So, but what is Chazal saying? I got to bring my son is beautiful. He's brilliant. I wanted to start learning Gemara, at age 10. No, Chazal said no. I don't want you to do that. It's not just my kid isn't smart. He couldn't can't handle it. He says there's a growth process, right? So
most, whatever reason, we don't follow that system. You know, we have the Zilberman, you do follow the system, you know, right? It's a different conversation, right? But most schools nowadays introduce Gemara in fifth or sixth grade. I was listening to a mechanic speak, you know, but you know, there's competition. You know, we all want, you know, we want the kids to go to like the best school, right? So what makes the best school is they got the best kids and they do the best things, you know. We're teaching them more. So he says, okay, so a parent came to him and they, you know, just like, you know, proud of the fact that in his kid's school, they introduced some concepts of Gemara in second grade. It's like, what are you doing to the kid? Right? I mean, I've been in the my, you know, you see a difference between a 15-year-old and a 10-year-old in Gemara, but it's part of their minds are different when it comes to Gemara. They, you finally, they just the age 15, 16, 17, they start really getting what Gemara is trying to do. They don't get it when they're younger. Even the brilliant kids, they don't get it. It's words, it's memorization. That it's a thought, that the point of Gemara is it's a thought process and it's a challenge and it's probing and it's thinking back and forth. Like, it's not, you know, they don't get it. So the Yira is great, you know, but too much Yira is a problem. You know, the parent who says my son's going to daven and he's going to sit by his seat and he's going to, you know, he's not ready to sit by his seat, you know, so don't make him sit by his seat. You know, you live in a society where everybody does that. Okay, so then, you know, the kid's not going to rebel against it because that's what they do, right? But I have a very precocious son. I used to bring books for him to read. He'd come with me to davening. He used to come with me to davening after a certain age. But I'd bring him books to read, and I would tell him he can go run around. You know, he ruled the roost because he was the only kid in yeshiva in those days. You know, like, which was great when it came to Ufros. Like, you know, he would have like 10, 12 Ufros a year in those days, and he would come like home and like this. Like, he was the only kid. Like, of course, we wouldn't, you know, like. For like the week, 2 weeks before Pesach, you know, with all the chametz and stuff, you got 2 weeks to eat it and get it out of here, you know. During the Shabbos Suda, someone took place. I used to learn Mishnayos with him, and he would be like, you know, doodling and looking around, etc. You know, like, so make him look inside. He's not ready to look inside, but he's listening to what he's ready to hear. Let him be a kid. But Shabbos Suda, he would sit for a little bit of Shabbos and then go play. He's a kid. But so you have to come to the Shabbos Suda. You cannot not come to the Shabbos Suda. You know, I'd rather play the whole thing. I don't want to come at all. No, we're going to train you. That's important to come to the Shabbos Suda. Also going to understand. But I want you to be not too much. But at the same time, my goal in the Shabbos Suda was to make it, you know, that he should get a flavor in it. That it should, you know, that his association should be positive. That when he turns 20, when I'm not making him go to the Shabbos Suda, he wants to be there because his associations are positive. And then it'll flower into something. He'll get the real flavor of a Shabbos Suda, not just the singing or the cake or the attention. It'll be, I enjoy a Shabbos Suda batsa. So, you know, in our lives, the noyak is very important, and we like to either over noachize people, or we try and be Abrahams, you know. Rav Aaron tells a story. I wish I should record this anyway. But Rav Aaron is close with somebody who's related to the Rebbe of Shleiman. Okay, so there was some family event, so he went to the family wedding, etc. And he came back, obviously, you know, whatever. It was a world of Ava. There was no limits. It was just Ava. I mean, we have a world without limits. It's just it falters. It falls apart. So you need the limits. You need that understanding. But now moving beyond the world of chiddush, just for ourselves, that nekuda in ourselves. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there are elements of, you know, we need to refocus on what our responsibilities are. But there has to be sukkahs afterwards. There has to be an element of ava. I'll tell you
that Swasemis that we did, you know, Chol HaMoed, was a mamash that point. That the Baruch Hu says, I know you're not going to hold on to everything you can, all your responsibilities that you thought of and you recognized through Rosh Yom Kippur. If you don't feel my Ava around you, you're not going to hold on to them. Only when I give you this cocoon of love and I envelop you in my arms and you feel my love and you love me back, then you'll be able to hold on to those commitments. So we need the Rosh Yom Kippur, we need the Sukkahs. Without the Sukkahs, it's not going to work. But obviously, without the Rosh Hashanah Kippur, the Sukkah is just, the person loves you, now what? Okay, now you're wonderful. That's not growth. The growth is, when we understand our responsibilities, and we feel the Ava, we're going to move beyond the beyond. Okay.